Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 37, as we read it responsively, and then as we go through it in a psalm meditation. A nice long one today. Psalm 37, the Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who proposes in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth.
The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming.
The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright among us.
Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken.
A little that righteous man has is better than the riches of any wicked.
For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous.
The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever.
They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives.
For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread.
He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed.
Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore.
For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off.
The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell in it forever. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree.
Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found.
Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace.
But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the future of the wicked shall be cut off.
But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him.
Amen. Now this Psalm 37, as you see, and as I mentioned, is a nice long one. We've got 40 verses here. And if I were to go verse by verse down through here, I would have scant time for a sermon. I could have planned it that way since I get to do both of them today, but we'll go ahead and try to do this in a reasonable amount of time. Now, a couple things that I found striking as I went through here. This psalm, more than any of the other, kind of reads like the book of Proverbs, doesn't it? As you go through here, you see little sections that seem to stand alone, or even a couple verses paired that tell a story. And compared to the book of Psalms, which generally tend to have more of God's praise in it, which tend to look more to the heavens than this psalm does, we see a practical sort of religion in this one more so. It does speak of God, and of course it speaks of the covenant God Yahweh standing for His people and judging the wicked and destroying them. But as we go through here, there's more, again, of a practical sense. What happens on earth? What you should do? What's going to happen to them? Now that doesn't mean that it's less of a good psalm than the others, but it struck me how it's a little different in its outlook. Another thing that really stood out is that this is pretty much three times the same theme. If you look at it, verses 1 through 15 kind of tells the story. And then 16 through 33 tells the story again. And then 34 through 40 sum it up, go over it again, but from a different angle. And, tell people three times is typically how you have to do it to get something really sunk in their head. As the military says it, or I've been taught in other training classes, first you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you just told them. And by that time, they should have it pretty well grasped. Now, the thing starts with, the very first line. Of course, it starts with the first line. Do not fret because of the evildoers. Now, how often should we need to hear that? Well, this side of heaven, every day. We shouldn't need to hear it more than once. I mean, ideally, God tells you something one time and you've got it and you'll never go against it again. But it doesn't work that way for us here. Even on this side of the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, that is, not our own, we're still dealing with the old man, the old wicked nature. We're still dealing with the lack of faith that comes with living in this flesh, in the unresurrected flesh. So we need to be told this, and we are told this over and over in this psalm and throughout the book of Psalms. Do not fret because of the evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. That's another temptation that we have. We look around us at the wicked ones, the ones who work iniquity, and we say, well, look at all they've got, or look at what they're doing, look what they get to do. And we become envious. And again, what we don't see is God's plan. Now, those of us who were at the congregational meeting last week got to hear our retired deacon, Jim McDonald, speak very eloquently and very emotionally, very movingly, about how he knows that God has a plan. And even when things seem to be rough, even when things are rough, there's a plan. God has a plan. And it's already set. And we don't, I think, give that enough consideration in our daily traffic. We're told not to fret, not to be envious, because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. This time of year, more so most years than this one, but this time of year, this is a very vivid image. They'll be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And as we drive past the cornfields and the bean fields that have been picked, we see that those things that stood in their glory are gone. Cut down. Trash. Nothing else left. We see the other fields, all the green herbs, all the wonderful stands of ragweed and goldenrod and all these other beautiful crops that we've seen and suffered through all summer, withering away and dying, which has a twofold thing for us, some of us. We see them going away and we think how sad the beauty is gone, but in a few weeks I'll be able to breathe again. But the idea is, as they prosper in the summer, and they look so strong and so tall, now they're nothing. Nothing at all. And God knew that and had a plan for it. So knowing that God has a plan, and knowing that the plan is that these shall be cut down, at least the next few verses, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Isn't that the calling of humankind? To live before God, to bring Him honor, to subdue the earth. But to live before God, to trust in the Lord, to do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. To delight also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, and trust in Him also, and He shall bring it to pass. How much do we lack faith when we forget that He is the one who shall bring it to pass? He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Now this theme has gone on through here, and look at the different verbs that we're commanded in the imperative voice, what we're told to do. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Do not fret. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. And all of these things because, when here I was talking about the practicality of this psalm, because they harm us. Because they have no worth. Because God is going to do it. So we're told to stay away from these harmful, destructive activities and to do the things that will bring actual prosperity. Trust in the Lord. Rest on Him. Now in verse 12, it turns and looks at the... let's go back up a little bit. Just a little bit, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, and it shall be no more, but the meek shall inherit the earth. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Have we seen that somewhere else? Again, the book of Psalms is not pre-Christian. The book of Psalms is Christ speaking to His people in all days, in all ages. But the wicked plots against the just, but the Lord laughs at him. Again, echoing Psalm 2 here. He sees that his day is coming, and all that the wicked do, they'll be destroyed. Now this next section where the wicked are drawing the sword, bending their bow, go forth to slay. They think they've got it made, but a greater warrior arises and destroys them. Should bring to mind the book of Revelation with the rider on the white horse. And conversely, when we read that, we should see the same imagery in the book of Psalms. And again, see the organic unity of the Scriptures, that all of the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Now, verse 16 starts over. Now, remember, we started with somebody in a position of a lack of faith, and we're telling him how to get out of it and how to, or God's telling him what to do in order to be faithful and to live a life of faith. And now we see this person again. We're going to go through the same ideas, but now the little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. He's not envious anymore. Now we're looking at the one who is resting in God. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever, and they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. This next middle section is what we can look forward to when we live faithfully, what we can understand the wicked are going to do as we live a faithful life. In the days of famine we shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish, and into smoke they shall vanish away. We see the wicked borrowing and not repaying, but the righteous showing mercy and giving. We see that the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. And even when we fall, the verb or the word though here doesn't mean if He does. It means though when it happens, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Again, we are promised in Scripture that we will have trouble. We are also promised in Scripture that it shall not be to our destruction. And even though we die, we'll be risen again in a better way to a better life. The psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous begging bread. The righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Continue here in verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice, preserves his saints, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off, and the righteous man shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. Something that we're going to look at in a lot more depth here in a few minutes, and you've heard me speak on it a lot in the past, is that promises from God are not from Him to just you. They're to you, your family, your descendants, to those in the congregation whom He loves, the promises to the covenant people. And we have here those who reject the covenant being destroyed and the covenant people being upheld, that they will inherit, that they will continue. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice because the law of God is in his heart and none of his steps shall slide. The next two verses, the wicked, I think, should be connected a little better. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. If we live consistent lives of holiness, one thing you can count on is being hated for it. The wicked hate the righteous and the ways of the righteous, and they will seek to destroy you. Because you remind them of what they should be doing, first off. You remind them of the judgment to come, secondly. And you remind them of the God whom they hate and who will judge them. Now, 34, we're going to look at the same set of 34 on. We're going to look at the same ideas, but from a third perspective. First, it was how we need to think of it when we're failing, when we're falling, when we're slipping. Secondly, what it looks like when we're living the life. And now this one is looking from the outside to the life of the righteous man or woman. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark, the blameless man. Now, this isn't talking about some guy named Mark who is a blameless man. They're saying, see the blameless man, mark him in your mind, and watch him. Observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Now, y'all see that and is are in italics? Now, that means that was not in the original text. And I want to not change this, I want to read this the way it was written, is mark the blameless and observe the upright, for the future of man is peace. The transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the future of the wicked shall be cut off. This verse is telling us that the future of man is peace. That if you watch the righteous on one hand and the wicked on the other, these guys go away. And all that's left are the descendants of the holy ones, the righteous ones. And at that time, the future is peace. Again, a view of the future that is pessimistic is not at all scriptural. But the salvation of the righteous people is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. A salvation by faith for the righteous, protection from the wicked for those in the covenant, is an Old Testament teaching just as much as it is the gospel of the New Testament. The covenant God providing a way of salvation for those who cannot save themselves is an Old Testament teaching. They were not saved by the blood of bulls and goats. They were saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we live our lives? And we often ask that question, and how shall we then live? Well, the answer is found here in this psalm. The answer is found all through the Bible. But dealing with how you live your life, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the wisdom books of the Old Testament teach us this. And there's nothing better for man than to live his life upright before God in faith, remembering their Father, trusting in him, and seeking to serve the covenant God. That's what this psalm is all about. That's what our lives should be. So let us sing now and sing part C of this psalm, 37C.